Second scripture from the book of Isaiah the prophet. I will start from verse 1 of chapter 9. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by way of the sea beyond Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. And from verse 6, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your promise. Speak to us. Open our hearts to receive from you today. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen. 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 These are wonderful scriptures. So as we celebrate and remember the heart behind Christmas. I will begin on the first part of our scripture. And here is Isaiah the prophet prophesying of something that is coming. In fact, my theme today was going to be about peace. But I will begin here. As we've heard about this particular place, Naphtali and Zebulun. Now, Naphtali and Zebulun, they are region around the Sea of Galilee. It is called Galilee of the Gentiles. Now, probably about 600 BC, the king of Assyria came to Israel and invade the land of Israel. And then what he did is normally a custom to the emperor of Assyria. When he invaded a particular area, nations, he would take the people of the land and deported them somewhere else, taking them to captivity. And then he would bring in foreigners from the foreign land and then place them there. This is why Galilee is called Galilee of the Gentiles, because the emperor went and brought in these people from other nations. They brought in their idols and they settled there in the land of Zebulun, of Galilee. There were writings that says that some of these people even asked the Jews, can you please come and help us? There were so many gods. And they said to them, please, can you come and help us how to worship your God? You know, we have all these gods here. And then here is the declaration of Isaiah that a time is coming that there's not going to be any more darkness. Yeah? And a beautiful, beautiful, there's two things I want us to remember. Number one, God's character doesn't change. And number two, his promise doesn't change. So the Isaiah the prophet, his declaration of what was coming, and he says that those who dwell in the shadow of death, those who dwell in darkness, light has come. This is the thing. See, darkness cannot create light. Amen? That everyone who dwell in darkness, and specifically addressing the people that dwells there in Galilee, in their desire to create their own hope within their own darkness, they end up concealing themselves more in their darkness, you see? Because you cannot create light. Darkness cannot create light. Light, it has to come from somewhere else, from another source. And that's what Isaiah is saying here. I like the whole idea, because it is the idea of hope. It is the idea of peace. When you live in an environment that is constrained, there is no peace, there is restlessness, there is captivity. God is not going to take that anymore. He will come. It says here, for people who are walking in darkness, they have seen a great light. You know, hundreds of years later, when we read the book of Matthew, it described Jesus, as probably in chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4, after his 40 days fasting in the wilderness, after his baptism, after the temptation, it says that Jesus came from Nazareth and he turned and walked directly to Galilee. And it says there, so he could fulfill the prophecy in which was declared by Isaiah. And he went straight to Galilee. So we know the story of Galilee. Galilee has a history, a dark history. Galilee was the land of pagans. Now, Jesus had no disciple at that time. He walked straight in Galilee and began his ministry. Amazing, yeah? That it was in Galilee, the very place that Isaiah was prophesying, that now Jesus stands in Matthew chapter 4. It was the place where he began preaching the message of the kingdom, the message of salvation. Amen? And that is in Matthew. You see the unfolding that God's promise. Here, the Messiah, walking in Galilee, the very place that Isaiah, the prophet, prophesied. And also in Galilee, he preached the gospel. He did miracles. He picked his disciples. Yeah? And then it is in Galilee also that he commissioned his disciples to go into all the world. Amazing, yeah? That this land that has a dark past and a dark history, God came and changed everything around. Transformed this place to what it was originally intended for. Amazing. There is hope. This is my first message. That it doesn't matter. How do I look at this? And I said, well, that's a good story. But when we look at it, God is in the business of changing our life for better. Amen? It doesn't matter what past you are part of. It doesn't matter what the history was. It doesn't matter the pain that we went through. It doesn't matter how dark it is, the journey that we took. Jesus came with the power and the love and the compassion to change and transform lives for eternity. Amen? that we see here. You will read in Matthew chapter 4. From there, you will see the amazing work of Jesus to the same place a few thousand years ago that Isaiah prophesied, that the Messiah, the light, will come. He is coming. What good news we have. I'm excited when I think about the whole picture of Christmas. And then we move on. When Isaiah was talking about this Messiah who's coming, this king who will rule, when he described this powerful kingdom that will stand opposed to the kingdom of evil, you wonder, what kind of Messiah is he talking about? Will he be the Messiah that will fight against evil with his own power? Will he destroy arrogance with arrogance? Will he demolish the enemy? As he began to describe this Messiah, a face of a little child comes to the picture, says, "For unto us a child is given." That this powerful Messiah that is going to squander evil forever comes a picture of a little baby. For unto us a child is born, and a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder, and he will be called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And his government, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne over his kingdom with justice and righteousness. He will rule from that time forever. What a humility. What an amazing picture. He says that he will reign in David's throne. It's not just talking about that he will be king on David's physical kingdom, but his kingship means the end of all kings. The wisest counselor, his wisdom surpasses all the wisdom of the world. I like this Messiah. And he will rule with justice and righteousness forever. And it says here that he is the Prince of Peace. I want to end there with that amazing title, the Prince of Peace. When we talk about peace, some, they define that as the absence of war or conflict. That is true. To find my notes here. And it's a common language to all of us. Now, the Old Testament speaks of peace the word shalom. And in the New Testament, in Greek, it speaks of peace, the word eirene. The word shalom, it can be defined as something that is whole and complete. Yeah? The Hebrew meaning for peace is something that is whole. It's like a rock, maybe like this, a rock that's firm, that is not broken, that has no crack. Or a wall that is intact and there is no hole, nothing missing. No missing part. It is perfect. It is whole. Something, it's like I bought my kid this car track that glows in the dark. That's why they're not here. So he was trying to put the pieces together. And then something was missing. And he knew that something was missing because it's not functioning the way it's supposed to function. Yeah? So his mugram, it's here, it's there somewhere. You know, where is the part? And I see the restlessness, the frustration. There's no peace in him. When our life is complex, is full of moving parts, and where they are not fitted together, there is no peace. That's why shalom in Hebrew means peace, is something that is intact, that is whole, that is complete. And when there's a missing part that is missing, there's restlessness in us. Do you have peace today? And also, peace is also related to our own relationship with each other. In Proverbs, it says that if somebody wrong you, go and make peace. Yeah? When something is broken, peace means something that has been restored. Something that was broken, something that was missing, as now has been fitted together. Just like I said, the core idea there is there's a lot of pieces and moving part in our lives every day. Every day in relationships and situation. And when something that is not aligned and missing, life is no longer whole and needs to be restored. Your shalom is not there. This is why in the New Testament we read the announcement of the arrival of Eirene, the Prince of Peace. Jesus says to his followers, he said, "My peace I give to you." The apostle also claimed that Jesus made peace between us and God. He came to do that, the Prince of Peace, to reconcile us. Why? Because so we can have peace in our own hearts. Peace. Paul also instructed the local church to keep their unity. Yeah? In the bond of peace, which requires humility, patience, and bearing one another's burden. So peace takes a lot of work in our relationship with each other. In the Old Testament, when kings, rival kings, would fight, the whole idea is for them to come together instead of just cease from doing battle with each other. They started building one another, using their strength to build one another. But that doesn't happen a lot. So peace requires taking what is broken in our relationship, in our own heart, in our own self, our relationship with God, and our relationship with one another. That we become that people that make peace. That's why when we stand up every day, every Sunday when we're here, we stand on hand of peace. That's exactly what we're doing. We are declaring wholeness to you. That all the pieces missing will be restored. Amen? And Jesus came. He is. I want us to take a moment this Christmas and think about if there is any shalom or irene has been broken that needs restoration in my life, in your life first, in my relationship with our loved ones or with church members or relatives or whoever that is out there. We can take that step today and ask God to begin his peace with us. Amen? To give us his shalom. Let's just take a moment and be quiet. Let's pray together our corporate prayer of confession. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us and care for us all the time. We know that this week we have not always lived the way you tell us. We have done wrong things and not done all the good things we should have done. Only you can save us. So please forgive us and help us to live as your friends. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated.
We'll sing together, Fair is Lord Jesus.